You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two is underway here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And it's Monday morning. You know what that means. You go to rotoexperts.com and you can chat with the all-in kid. It happens every Monday morning. But in order to do that, you gotta get in the exclusive Edge package. Make your playoff push. Do that. You talk to the guy that tweeted out, quote, what was the line I texted you last night that you didn't respond to, Corey?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You didn't even look. Okay. All right. You could chat with a guy that called somebody, quote, Harry Hindsight on Twitter. And if you can do that, if you want to do that, you make sure you go to the exclusive Edge package. Go to put in free radio at checkout. You can talk to Harry Hindsight for less than $10.
Yes, and also check out my advanced scout later today on rotoexperts.com. Early look ahead to week 11. And for you fantasy hoops players, it's free. You can check out Dan Dobish's Fantasy Basketball Weekly Planner.
Will you call anybody Harry Hindsight?
Who called somebody Harry Hindsight?
Jake Seeley, the all-in kid. You can put me on the board, by the way.
Yeah.
He wonders why people don't like him. Like, does he really wonder that?
That's not
like
nice.
He is really, he's really Pat Mayo, but he's not as good at it.
Oh, God. Okay. You can talk to him coming up. Noon Eastern, Scotty?
11
a.m. Eastern. Yeah. Okay, 11 a.m. Eastern time. Now, Tony, Doug Martin yesterday, 16 carries, only had 33 yards, but if you were desperate, he did give you the touchdown, so he wasn't an absolute killer. Doug Martin, Peyton Barber split the carries. Barber had more yards rushing, but I believe if Doug Martin came out of this game healthy, as we expect that he did, Martin's going to be the featured back. I like Martin going forward. What say you?
I feel like I can't.
26th. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
They're 26th in the league in the offensive line. That's going to come back to haunt them. You see the whole situation there with the running game. They've had some great opportunities from backs that were less than him, like Jacquizz Green.
Jacquizz Rodgers
came in. Yeah, Jacquizz Rodgers came in. He played well. We saw some there was some good runs in yesterday's game as well, but I don't think that they have a concentrated effort. That was a porous team yesterday, and they were able to put up some numbers, but I think that this team's in trouble. I think Doug Martin's going to be... We all need running backs, but he's probably going to be somewhere around 15 the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
I agree with
that's
that.
That's not terrible. Yeah.
No.
That's pretty good.
Usage will be there.
Hey, that's legitimately half the battle. Corey, before you said a moment ago, Zach Ertz trending up right now. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have Zach Ertz or Cameron Brate?
Cameron Brate.
Okay.
Make Cameron Brate again.
That's not funny because it's real. You can't make that joke anymore.
Cameron Brate scores.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Cameron Brate does score. Guys, we have to talk about what is going on with the Green Bay Packers. Because
as a football team?
As a football team, because they are lost. Someone's head's going to roll in Green Bay. When they just lost 47-25 to the Tennessee Titans, they were down 21-0 after getting the ball at midfield to start the game after an onside kick with Tennessee. A ballsy onside kick, cannot convert, and then Tennessee whooped the crap out of the Green Bay Packers, led by DeMarco Murray. We keep talking about Ezekiel Elliott as an MVP candidate. Now, Corey, you have brought up Dak Prescott on many occasions. Tom Brady's in there. But DeMarco Murray needs to be in this conversation as well, because DeMarco Murray had 123 yards rushing and a touchdown. He threw a touchdown. He caught a couple passes out of the backfield. Tennessee destroyed Green Bay.
What baffles me, what the hell is wrong with Chip Kelly? He couldn't find a way to use this guy last year. Mm.
He found a way to use him, split carries and make him run lateral. Yeah. That's how he found a way to use him.
He couldn't figure out a way to make this an effective running back. This guy can play flat out.
Absolutely.
One of the best offensive players in the NFL. He came as a steal in drafts. You look at it yesterday, 123 carries on 17 attempts and a touchdown. He's throwing the football. He's the centerpiece. He's the rock of this offense. Him and Marcus Mariota doing excellent. Marcus Mariota, 26 attempts, 4 touchdowns. You know what's wrong with the Green Bay Packers?
Zero interceptions.
You know what's wrong with the Green Bay Packers? This number right here sticks out of what's wrong with the Green Bay Packers. 51. That's how many times Aaron Rodgers threw the football. You're not going to win in this league throwing the ball 51 times.
Their defense got tore up yesterday.
The defense got destroyed. It got absolutely destroyed.
By the way, Murray would not get my MVP vote.
Who would?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
They're a 500 ball club.
They would be a much worse.
Yeah. So what would they be? It wouldn't be a 500 ball club. I love Murray. If you know, but it's my personal thing where I believe that a most valuable player should be like on a winning team. Like Elliott would definitely get my vote. You know, Brady, somebody like that.
Brady, I can't give a vote to Brady when this team was 3-1 without Brady.
And he was suspended for it. I'm not going to reward a player that was suspended for four games.
I agree. I think DeMarco Murray needs to be unjustly.
How was it unjust?
He was unjustly. How is he unjust? That would be like saying you wouldn't vote for Nelson Mandela for Man of the Year because he was in jail.
Yeah, well, Nelson Mandela was unjust. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady had his cronies take the air out the football.
I see the situation similar, but it's just me. I don't know.
It's very hard for me to vote for anybody except Ezekiel Elliott.
DeMarco Murray was my MVP until 3 minutes left in that Cowboys game. Then it all changed.
Fair enough. And then that's completely fair. All I said was he should be in the conversation. I think he should have been it. Yeah, it's fine.
He's the whole – that offense – it's amazing what he's done, and he's made Marcus Mariota better. Mm-hmm. Like, I was talking about this last night. I'm not in love with Mariota at all as a quarterback. It has nothing to do with him. 26 – Pat, when you throw the ball 26 times in today's NFL, you have no room for error. You better be perfect. Mm-hmm. And he was, and he has been. And it's been great. But that offense is so relied on DeMarco Murray that I couldn't take the chance in using Marcus Mariota on a week-to-week basis because he's only thrown the ball 25 times in a league where we got a guy throwing the ball 51 times.
But
Murray has scored in 5 consecutive games in 7 of his last 8. We talk about LeGarrette Blount, you know, and the way he scored a touchdown at Melvin Gordon. You know, Murray, too.
Yeah, but Tony, the thing about it is he is extremely efficient. I understand they want to run the football and take it out of his hands and run the football, limit his exposure, especially in these big situations like he was in yesterday. But with the looks he's getting it done. I mean, he's spreading the football around. I think we see that Delanie Walker is a top target. But you got the Walker, Sharp, Rishard Matthews, Murray out the backfield, Kendall Wright, mix in some Anthony Fasano and the rest of these stiffs. You know what I mean? So I am.
If you start talking to me about Kendall Wright and Anthony Fasano, you're going
to
lose me.
Yeah, but you know what? Murray even threw a touchdown pass yesterday, and you know, Rishard Matthews, all he does is score touchdowns.
Bottom line is, NFL comes down to one game, right? Even if you're the best team in the league, we get to week 14, week 15, it's going to come down to one game. And if I got this guy throwing 26 times, give me the guy throwing 50.
6 receivers caught passes yesterday for Tennessee. 5 of them caught touchdowns. That's crazy.
This is the threat.
Rishard Matthews has scored touchdowns in 5 of his past 6 games. And double figures in PPR in 6 of his last 7.
Yeah,
and that's another thing. Mm-hmm. We going to roster these guys with 3 catches?
Right. That's that's a problem.
And that's where I was going with the next one. I throw this out to the table, to the room. Who would you fellas rather have ROS, Rishard Matthews or Allen Hurns?
I think Rishard Matthews. I think Allen Hurns is droppable.
I was about to say Rishard Matthews is what Hurns was last year.
It's a good point. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Mariota's not throwing as much as Bortles did last year, obviously, but the touchdown rate is absolutely
there. We found out with Hurns we can't depend on that.
I was going to get to that later in the show. It's in my notes. Hurns is droppable, guys. You don't need to. What are you holding on for Allen Hurns for? That's useless. But Rishard Matthews scoring each and every week at this point. I like him going forward. But Delanie Walker is the star of this offense. 9 receptions, 124 yards and touchdown. He was excellent yesterday, Tony.
He was. I'm still marveling at these Marcus Mariota numbers that this is going on with this offense and this Tennessee Titans offense. He's 21st in yards per game, 248 yards per game, and yet he makes the most of it. But you know what's crazy? Here's another quarterback with very similar skills, Cam Newton's at 20. Cam Newton's having 249. They both have some runs in them. They both throw there, and Marcus Mariota's actually throwing more passes than Cam Newton. This is an interesting thing. I would be scared to death to go into playoffs with any of these guys not named DeMarco Murray in his Tennessee offense.
So here's the thing with Marcus Mariota. Week 11, he faces the Colts in Indy. Awesome. Week 12, he faces the Bears in Chicago. All right, no problem. He's got a bye week 13. Yep. And then when you start the playoffs, home against Denver, in Kansas City to face the Chiefs week 14 and 15. You're not going to be able to start him there. Now, week 16, he's in Jacksonville, which is tremendous, but you know, you can't start this guy at home against Denver or in Kansas City, I think, in the playoffs.
Listen,
okay. You would do
this
that?
This is fantasy football. Let's have a conversation, but this is fantasy football. It's not the real thing.
Right.
He got you there.
Yeah.
And you're going to abandon him in week 14?
Yes.
Here's what Greg is talking about.
It's not a real
about.
Thing. I can't
Marcus
do that.
Marcus Mariota has 7 touchdown passes in his last 2 games, right? He has at least 2 in 6 consecutive games, and in 4 of those, 3 or more. But, and look, to be a good quarterback, you got to take advantage of this. To be a good fantasy quarterback, they've come against Miami, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, San Diego, and Green Bay.
I love Marcus Mariota based on that schedule. I mean, it was tremendous. You can talk about abandoning it all you want. It's not
There's
real.
There's no Denver or Kansas City in
There's
there.
There's no Denver or Kansas City in there. You're going to go to the playoffs, the first round of the playoffs, and start Marcus Mariota against Denver,
The
Corey.
Question is, and I laid out all 3 of you, especially Corey.
Just ask the question.
Is Marcus I am.
I just did. You didn't let him answer.
No, the question.
I had a question. You didn't let him answer my question.
Okay, I got one after you're done.
Okay, answer my question. You're going to let Marcus Mariota, Corey.
Up.
Yeah. Tony, you have a question, too, before I have a question.
All right, here's the thing. With Marcus
No.
We're looking ahead to week 14, which is not fair. But what you take us. Is this game is in Denver or in Tennessee?
In Tennessee.
This game in Tennessee.
Yes.
Marcus Mariota to start your playoffs.
Start your playoffs.
I think it's too risky.
Of course it is!
All right, here's the question now, and you can all 3 answer this, because this is what we're asking. Is Marcus Mariota now matchup proof?
Well, he just answered that question.
Yeah. No.
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 He just answered that question.
But when you say matchup proof, right, when you say matchup proof, okay, you're talking about one team, the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Give me another defense you'd be afraid to start Marcus Mariota.
Seattle.
Again. I saw Tyrod Taylor do it with weapons, so I'm not. It doesn't bother me.
Cam Chancellor though.
Oh, just Cam Chancellor, Cam Splanchler. I don't want to hear about it.
You don't want to hear.
I don't
want to
hear about the Cam
Chancellor.
I don't want to hear about the Cam Chancellor thing.
Don't let your bias get involved.
The Cam Chancellor thing does nothing for me. I saw Tyrod Taylor with no weapons drop 300 yards on
without
them.
Cam Chancellor.
I don't give a shit if Cam Chancellor was there or not. It happened.
Right, because you're scared of the Seahawks.
I'm not scared of Seattle Seahawks.
Yes,
I'm not.
You are. Yes,
I think
you are.
Denver is a matchup where you don't play them.
Sure.
Seattle, I'm not as worried.
Tony.
You know, the problem.
Well, you
with
would
that
start
Denver
Marcus Mariota
too.
In Let Seattle against the Seahawks?
Let Tony Come go. Tony, please.
The problem with that Denver matchup as well is that DeMarco Murray against that 29th ranked defense against the run would get a lion's share of those carries, keep the games close, try to win it. So game scripts could come back to haunt them in that game against Denver and Kansas City once you get to the playoffs. I think both those teams that they would try to run on.
Would you start Marcus Mariota against New England?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No problem with that.
I would start.
With the matchup proof thing, we're talking about being questionable to starting against Kansas City.
In Kansas City is a tough spot. It's a tough, tough spot.
In KC is a tough spot. I agree with that.
But if it was at home against Kansas City, I'd have no problem with it. The only 2 teams I'm really afraid of, Denver, home or away, and then Seattle. Personally, this is me, Seattle, home and away. I'd have no problem at home. Anybody else?
Minnesota?
I have no problem starting against Minnesota at all. But it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, we're singling out 1 or 2 teams.
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome. But the problem is we're singling out 1 or 2 teams. Those are the 2 teams he plays in the playoffs.
Okay, and I feel what you're saying. So let's look ahead to 2017, and you're putting together your rankings at the quarterback position. Does he fall in the top 10?
Oh, definitely.
I think so, yes.
I think so, because the rushing numbers, too. But you know, it's to another point, though. What defense is dominant in the NFL right now?
We just named it, too. Denver. Even though Seattle up 30 points last night.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver. All right, the other side of this game.
Would you take
them? Yes.
With the top 10, though, we just dismissed that. Let me ask you, would you take them over Ben Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, and Jameis Winston?
Corey?
I would take him over, out of that group, I would take him over Matthew Stafford. I didn't say he was top 10.
You would.
You did not
I
say
would
that.
Take. I would take him over
no,
Stafford.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Winston.
Those...
Same.
How about Carr?
No, I would not take that.
No,
Carr.
I want Carr.
Carr.
Yeah, he's going to be on the fringe of top 10 then, based on those guys you guys just put there.
Okay. All right. The other side of this game was perhaps even the more interesting. Yes.
I'm sorry. One more.
Sure.
Tyrod, 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
Tyrod Taylor, Marcus Mariota. Tyrod Taylor with a healthy Sammy Watkins.
I'll take Mariota. Is that really going to happen?
I know, right, Tony? Is that a thing? That a healthy Sammy Watkins? Yeah. Is that like really something that we'll ever see?
I'll take Mariota. All right, I got another one now. Yeah. Marcus Mariota.
I'll take Taylor.
Marcus Mariota or Kirk Cousins?
I would take Kirk Cousins because of the throws. And they got a great wide receiver group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not sold on that Tennessee receivers.
You know what the problem is when doing this 2017 stuff, though? Is that Tyrod Taylor might have Sammy Watkins and another good receiver next year.
Marcus Mariota might have a great receiver next year.
These guys are going to change. You know,
yeah, of course.
Tyrod Taylor could have the same Sammy Watkins we've seen the last 2 years.
We haven't seen Sammy Watkins the last 2 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor could have Sammy Watkins and Torrey Smith next year.
Is that good? I don't know. Marcus Mariota might have Terrell Pryor next year.
Yeah.
How about that?
True.
So it's a lot out there.
I don't know. I just have a hard time using the kid from weeks 3 to 13, and then you get to the dance and you put him on your bench. I wouldn't feel comfortable with that.
I agree. I'm the same way as you. And yesterday I did that move, and I put Cutler in, and I've used Cousins every week, and look how that worked.
So
hey,
yeah.
Terrell Pryor couldn't leave Cleveland. That'd be the same as LeBron leaving.
we're talking about – I actually also benched Marcus Mariota yesterday, who's led me to the dance. My matchup hangs in the balance. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because it was exactly what we talked about last week. I got carried away. Exactly what we talked about last week. We'll talk about that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But Green Bay yesterday, Aaron Rodgers threw 51 times. And this team has decided they're not going to run the ball. We knew that already. Aaron Rodgers threw 51 times. They were down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. James Starks returned 7 carries for 33 yards. Ty Montgomery was a non-factor with James Starks back. 3 carries, and Montgomery caught 2 passes. Tony, have we seen the end of Ty Montgomery's fantasy value? And if so, why?
I don't know why. And actually, he was the second most disappointing player yesterday in that poll that we put up. They beat Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey as far as the disappointing play. It made no sense to me because this is a team that threw the ball 51 times. So why wasn't he in the backfield catching passes?
Yeah.
Why wasn't he involved in that offense? He was so good when he was in there. And James Starks, of course, it was a different offense too. James Starks wasn't catching the ball over the middle. When Montgomery was in there, he'd be behind the linebackers catching passes about 5 yards there. James Starks was catching balls in the flats, the right and left flats. And it was a totally different offense. I didn't get what they did yesterday. From a fantasy perspective, the numbers were great for all of them except him, but it just made no sense, the whole game plan.
From an NFL standpoint,
yeah,
it's a problem with this Green Bay Packers team.
Clearly.
Is it McCarthy? Is it Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
This looks like it's something going on in that locker room.
I agree.
I think it's an issue in that locker room. I really do. Yeah, I think it's an issue in that locker room.
I think it's coaching because you look at how much they don't use Eddie Lacy correctly when he's in there. The defense is just falling apart. Sometimes it's the offense. Sometimes it's the defense. I agree with Corey. I think there's some sort of communication issue going on.
What do you think, Tone?
There was a little altercation at halftime where Randall Cobb basically tore the team apart. So I guess that the big problem is they were saying that a lot of the team leaders are gone. Aaron Rodgers just mopes around the clubhouse and doesn't say much. So Randall Cobb lit into him. And it was interesting, when it came out that first drive, he had 3 or 4 passes to Cobb in that drive.
Aaron Rodgers is the Hillary Clinton of the NFL.
Please, no more of these jokes.
Can't trust him?
No more of these jokes.
Nobody likes him.
I like Aaron Rodgers.
Work with him. That's why you like him.
That's true.
He's not good with email.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. I think, to answer your question, I think Mike McCarthy's a problem.
Yep.
And I think the other problem is these guys do not like – I mean – it's one thing not liking Aaron Rodgers, and it's another thing like not doing your job. Like, is the offensive line going to suck and try to get Aaron Rodgers killed? Maybe. But like, is that the reason that they're not the defense isn't successful? Probably not.
Yep.
So I think a lot of this is on the coaching staff. Yesterday, Davante Adams had 6 for 156. Jordy Nelson, 12 for 126 and 1. Jordy Nelson, ever since getting shut out a couple weeks ago, he's been a monster, Corey.
Well, for all the noise that we as fantasy owners and fantasy analysts have been talking about, what's wrong with Jordy Nelson and how come Jordy Nelson not?
He's a wide receiver one, easy.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver one. He's locked in. He's inside that. He's inside that top 12.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just look at it from the weekly averages. Maybe that's where the disconnect is coming in at. Nah, right now Jordy Nelson is like he's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
The disconnect is coming from people expect him to do what he did yesterday every week. And the guy scored 8 touchdowns.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem, he got 18 targets in the game. I mean, when you throw the ball 51 times, you're going to put up numbers.
Sure.
So if if you roster Jordy Nelson, you got to hope the Packers get crushed every week. That's all. These numbers are all distorted.
So I don't agree, Tony. I don't agree because they don't run the ball anyway. They never run the ball.
They never run the ball, but you look at it 51 times in a game. You're going to throw a couple change-ups in there, and you're going to run the ball, whether it's working or not. You're just running to keep the clock moving when you're in the lead, when you're competitive. When you're down by 20 at halftime, you throw the ball every single play. And these targets are unrealistic. 18 targets for Jordy Nelson, 9 targets for Davante Adams, 8 for Cobb. I mean, this amount of throws are unrealistic in a competitive game. So what you got to hope for is this continues. From a fantasy perspective, this is the perfect storm for these Green Bay players.
51 attempts this week. Last week against Indy, a game they lost 31-26, 43 attempts. In a game they lost in Atlanta, 33-32, 38 attempts. In a game they won against Chicago at home, 56 attempts for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. The reason why, though, people are like down on Jordy is because they're not forgetting weeks 5-7 when he scored a total of 23 PPR points combined.
Well, right now he's inside the top 10.
Comfortably,
and Davante Adams is like right behind him.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's enough work to get involved with fantasy. Adams is the player that I really have been impressed with. If you were able to scoop him up off the waiver wire, because everybody was on him last year, going in the third, fourth round of drafts.
Yep.
He disappointed. His ass sat on the waiver wires for the most part this year. People picked him up here and there early in the season, and he's having a phenomenal season.
He's definitely the
best thing about Davante Adams. He's so much fun to watch now
because he is.
His fundamentals have improved, and after the catch, the way he breaks tackles,
he's excellent.
He's
a player, and I'm in on Davante Adams. I wish I had owned him someplace. He's going to be on a lot of championship teams.
Randall Cobb only had 4 receptions for 31 yards yesterday. Yeah, go tell him.
Yeah, did you understand Tajay Sharpe's touchdown celebration where he laid on the ground?
And they got a penalty?
I didn't get that.
Well, they used to do that a lot. Where they would lay on the ground, they would go to sleep and wake up and go crazy.
I think what he was trying to say with that, I'll be like the connection.
Please do.
I think what he was trying to say with that was that the game is over. It's time to go to sleep. Cut the lights off. It's a done deal.
Oh, so that was better than the throat slash.
It's just like the throat slash, though, except it's less. And, you know, it's less intimidating. the suburban NFL fan is like, Dr. Roto in his house, like, I don't like that throat slash.
they each get the same penalty. Now, what's better, Tajay Sharpe sleeping or Marcus Peters officially becoming the backup punter for Kansas City and punting the ball out of the stadium?
That was funny as hell.
He's so stupid. It was confusing game.
A lot of emotion.
Actually, it's
in the
not
game,
the same.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't
Marcus Peters' penalty was 5 yards. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Delay a game. I don't understand the difference, but that's what he got.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Oh, that was crazy. But that was a good punt.
But if you're Kelvin Benjamin, how much I don't want to say that word.
You're going to say soft?
I was going to say another word that started with an S. It's similar to soft, but I might not be able to say that on the radio. How much of a
Donald Trump's
can't find another word.
How much of a sissy does it take for you to get that ball ripped away from you like that in that spot? That is horrible.
It's unacceptable.
And if I'm his teammates, I have to check him. You know what I'm saying? How big is that guy?
Marcus Peters?
No, Kelvin
like
Benjamin.
6'5", 240, something like
this
that.
This is a big dude.
Yeah.
This is the NFL game.
Marcus Peters is 6 foot.
Come on, you can't hit a ball. That was junk on that play.
During practice, I think the whole practice of Kelvin Benjamin this week should be people ripping the ball out of him. Yeah, it cannot happen.
That's a bad look from KB.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
Pulling a Tiki Barber.
What?
I don't know.
Tiki Barber always lose the football.
Yeah, Tiki Barber had fumbling issues until Tom Coughlin told him
That was fixed years later.
It's a joke, Greg.
It's an out-of-date joke that nobody understands.
Oh, everybody else got it except for you.
So it's just Corey who's laughing
because
Tiki Barber was a giant. He's a Cowboy fan.
Tiki Barber's probably one of my most hated athletes.
I said it for his benefit mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he ever drop loose coffee when he was with the Roto Experts?
When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we're going to talk about the Ultimate Loser. We'll do that next. So it's funny, when I said we were going to break, we were going to come back talking about the Ultimate Loser, you guys kind of looked at me like, who are we going to talk about?
I knew you
said Jay Cutler.
I knew you were going to talk about
Scott, of course, knew exactly what I was going to talk about.
Yeah, ever since Mike Cardano started rooting for the Vikings, they're 0-4. He says he likes the Chargers. What are they? They're out of it now. And then he's a Jet fan, too.
Well, there you go.
I guess you're talking about Mike.
All right, put on the board. That's two, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Mike Florio, our producer, when we heard who we could talk about, I said, oh, we're talking about Philip Rivers next. He goes, what did you say, Mike? What was that line that you said, I believe?
I don't know if it's radio friendly, but I said F him.
F him.
He didn't say F, though.
He did not say F. It was demonstrative. Did Philip Rivers cost you something yesterday?
Very nearly did. I was up just a handful of points going against Dez and Melvin Gordon, and he threw those two late picks, and I had to watch the last, 10 minutes of the Cowboys game just sweating, hoping Dez doesn't catch another touchdown, or else I would have lost.
Well, I'm happy you didn't lose.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yesterday, the San Diego Chargers did lose, and much of it was thanks to Philip Rivers, who threw for 326 yards and three touchdowns. That's great. But four fourth-quarter interceptions, including a couple in the end zone, all of them absolutely backbreaking. I'm not saying all of them were his fault, but four interceptions from Philip Rivers yesterday, Scott, and that is simply unacceptable.
Yeah, it was the second time in three games that he's thrown two or more interceptions.
Fourth quarter, though.
Yeah, he threw three at Denver as well. So, you know, all of a sudden, the mistakes. Miami's gotten hot. They've won four in a row.
Jay Ajayi.
They're now 5-4. I got to tell you, Jay Ajayi is just so much fun to watch. I said on Twitter yesterday, the Miami Dolphins do not have much of a rushing history at all. Outside of Ricky Williams, you got to go all the way back to the 70s to find a good Miami running back. And he's so much fun to watch. But back to Philip Rivers, just like, you know, Miami just played really good defensively yesterday.
Did they? I mean, I don't know.
They had to.
They made some plays. I do not want to say they played really good defensively because San Diego had chance after chance after chance after chance that was blown by Philip Rivers four different times.
I'm saying I give credit to the defense for picking them up four times. You know?
I don't know. I think it was an awful job by Philip Rivers. Tony.
I think it's both.
Okay. Tony, Philip Rivers, the Ultimate Loser.
Well, when you get down, in Phil's defense, right?
Nice
we lost Keenan Allen.
Yes.
We've lost Travis Benjamin.
We've lost Danny Woodhead.
So we're down to his Danny Woodhead. So we're way down on the wide receivers when his two best targets are probably tight ends. Things have gotten crazy. I think he was losing his mind yesterday as some pass routes were run incorrectly.
Right.
And he doesn't deal with things that go wrong very well.
No, he does not.
I think he was listening to Out of Bounds Friday and he heard Cardano say, my San Diego Chargers.
That's three times in the last 2 minutes. Let's put that on the board, please.
The interception.
He has a Cardano fetish.
That's one for Tony. Yeah, he does, though. You're right. One for Tony, one for Scott. Thanks,
because I own him.
You own him?
Yes, I own him.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
That's kind of scary.
you know when you say somebody is owned?
You own him.
He's owned by me.
That's interesting.
I'm better than him in everything when it comes to football. My teams are better than him. I'm better than him in fantasy. He should just stop.
All right. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Wow.
You own him. There you go.
Every single team he is rooted for sucks. He's rooting for the Panthers. They suck.
Put another one on the board for the
Vikings. They lose four in a row. He says, my Chargers, they blow it. They go 4-6. He roots for the Jets. My quarterback beats him on one leg. He talks trash to me in the pros for his shows. He loses. Just stop.
For those that don't know, Michael Cardano, host of Out of Bounds at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Along with myself, Tony, and
me.
And Gregory.
Yeah, just me.
And he won't be there tonight.
He'll not be there tonight. It'll be the three of us tonight. Last time we did that, Donald Trump became president. So. Oh, boy. Tyrell Williams yesterday, 5 catches for 125 yards and a touchdown. I love Tyrell Williams. He's fun.
He's a very good player, athletic. The talent is immersed. So I'm satisfied with him I think he has definitely emerged as the wide receiver to own in this situation. Interesting to see what happens, you know, moving forward. Well, I think he's a good player. I think he's consistent, that you can count on him. I think he's in your lineups moving forward when you go through your playoff, your stretch run. If you're a Tyrell Williams owner, Williams kind of the first guy to pop off the waiver wire this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of shaky at first, but now he's rock solid. He's locked in. I'm in on Tyrell Williams this year. You know,
By the way, four double-figure PPR performances in his last six, 3 100-yard games in that span, and he has scored in two consecutive weeks.
Yes.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
I don't think that Keenan Allen is ever going to be healthy.
You don't think he'll ever be? I think it's hard to say he'll ever be the same again, right? I mean, another injury, an ACL injury is brutal for him.
I think Keenan Allen, at some point in his career, had a patella tendon injury.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think of that?
I think I read that somewhere. I read that somewhere recently. He's in bad shape, Keenan Allen.
Yeah, my man. I miss him.
Sometimes you get too many injuries.
I think he's beat up.
Antonio Gates had another touchdown yesterday here, Tony. Yeah. He scores almost every game, if not every game. Hunter Henry only involved in the third quarter, but he also had a touchdown yesterday. The skill position players for San Diego actually did very, very well for you. Melvin Gordon had 78 yards rushing on the ground, 62 yards through the air on 5 receptions. Melvin Gordon, even though he didn't score in this one, just keeps on rocking and rolling. Dontre Inman, a little bit disappointing. Did have 9 targets, but 5 receptions for 43 yards. But if you started a San Diego player, you felt good yesterday.
Yeah, and you can't.
Yeah,
go ahead, Tone.
The Melvin Gordon thing is crazy, right? The Melvin Gordon thing. Even when he doesn't get any yards per carry, he's foolproof. He ended up with 18 fantasy points. Yep. He's never going to have a bad game. He gets so much work,
and he's got this label of being TD dependent. He hasn't scored in 4 of his last 6.
Yeah, and he's not. He's just good now. There's nothing else. Tony, Scotty said earlier that Melvin Gordon is a top 5 running back in 2017. What say you?
Wow. You know what? I never really thought of that purpose. You have Ezekiel Elliott, of course, and David Johnson.
And Le'Veon Bell. Yep.
Those three guys stand out head and shoulders. Devonta Freeman was the guy this year. He's not going to be. Okay. I think he's right. I think he's 100% right.
Yeah, he's fifth. I think if I was doing my end-of-season ranks, you know, it was like...
He had DeMarco Murray.
I would say DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, but, yeah. And I would put Gordon fifth.
It's going to be Jay Ajayi or Melvin Gordon.
Jay Ajayi in the mix as well. It'd be interesting to see if Kansas City gets rid of Jamal Charles, and Spencer Ware, I think, is somebody that I would very much want to own. But these guys right now, you're right.
Jay Ajayi is fantastic. Great vision, great balance, and a great blend of power and quickness.
Well, what happens when they get a quarterback in there?
I don't know.
They're not going away from Tannehill.
I don't know how quickly they're getting away from Tannehill. I agree with Scotty.
Yeah.
I know that's
quarterback is a good in other people's opinions, a quality quarterback is very good, very hard to find, and I think that the front office still feels they have their guy.
All right. Well, I think the front office is wrong on that.
I agree with you.
I think that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi, impressive. I want him nowhere. I want him in Scotch Fishbowl, which is the only place where I have him. I think moving forward, he's locked in. They figured it out. Give this guy the football. This is the guy they left home in week one. You feel what I'm saying?
For a guy that's no longer in the NFL.
Yeah, for a guy that's no longer in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's definitely came through and playing with a lot of spunk and poise, and I'm satisfied with Jai going forward. Right quick, fellas, back to Antonio Gates right quick.
Yep.
Christopher Carroll mentioned this yesterday. I believe he's closing in on a tight end touchdown record.
Yes.
And they're going to and they're going to see to it that they get him that record.
Well,
that was
the big thing, to get him the record this season so he can retire at the end of the season. That was very important to him.
Yeah.
Jai, though, yesterday, 19 carries for 79 yards. And like Scotty said, he just mows him down, man. Fun to watch how hard he runs. Jarvis Landry, though, he's kind of been hurt by this move to being a running offense with Jai. He had 6 for 53 yesterday. Touchdowns aren't there. Jarvis Landry's been disappointing. But finally, Devontae Parker, your guy, Corey, he goes off 5 for 103.
We see a little bit out of D. Parker, so it was good to see that. I think he's the most talented wide receiver on the team. I think he is a better pure player than Jarvis Landry. When he gets going, he's right and he's rolling. Still going to take some time. You know, we're so used to seeing these wide receivers pop, like Odell Beckham and Michael Thomas and the gentleman from a couple years ago, the rookie wide receivers that came up big, Kelvin Benjamin and so on and so forth. I think Devontae Parker is one of those players that's going to need some time to develop. And they said in Miami, I was reading some of the Miami beat writers, they said that the second half of the season, look for Parker to start to play well. If he's on the waiver wire out there, I think I would pick him up and stash him, see if he becomes more consistent. I do not like Ryan Tannehill at all, but I think Devontae Parker is a player on the rise. Tony, you have a lot of places where you own Jarvis Landry. Are you satisfied with him this season?
No, I thought the touchdowns, because of Devontae Parker, I thought the touchdowns would be there. And I expected Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball. Jai has definitely hurt that situation. Devontae Parker's numbers could actually have been better yesterday. He made an amazing catch where there was a penalty flag drawn after about 30-yard catch. And he made another catch that was over a 10-yard catch and a penalty flag was drawn. So he left 40 yards on the table. I mean, we're talking about a guy that could have been up there with Stephon Diggs, which to me is a story that I don't understand if Diggs is this good or they just don't have any other capable receiver in Minnesota.
Diggs can play. He's another player like Crowder that has Antonio Brown skill set.
You know what scouts were calling Diggs when he came into the league?
What?
A mini Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he has Antonio Brown skill set.
The guy runs every single route.
I was hearing a lot of good stuff about Laquan Treadwell and Cordarrelle Patterson, too. Ooh.
I was never hearing anything about Cordarrelle Patterson's route running ability. In fact, Corey could attest to that firsthand.
No, not his route running ability. But people were in love with the guy. He went in the third round his rookie season.
I guess I should put some color for you there, Tony. I was talking about maybe one or two scouts. Nobody really talked up Diggs coming into the league, except for maybe one or two scouts who had really seen him. Look, Treadwell and Patterson got all the talk. Diggs didn't.
I don't own him nowhere. I didn't think he had a shot at having this kind of season whatsoever. Yeah. I thought the offense was predicated to running the football, slowing the game down. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to open up the playbook for Teddy Bridgewater. So I was like, this is a guy that can be a bye week guy. You can have him on your bench. Maybe he cracks your lineup as a wide receiver 3 here and there. I didn't think he was going to be like the damn player of the year. You feel what I'm saying? He is having a phenomenal season on a team that is really – Sam Bradford was the quarterback, and they kind of stank at offense.
Absolutely. With North Turner gone, I mean, they've just focused on Stephon Diggs here. What, 14 receptions last week, 13 receptions this week?
Each of the last 2 weeks.
13 last week as well.
He's unguardable.
He's unguardable. Yeah, it's incredible. I could have told you that. I watched quite a bit of Stephon Diggs, Corey.
And the University of Maryland.
That's right.
Turtle.
He's averaging over 10 catches a game over his last three.
Kyle Rudolph had 5 catches for 69 yards yesterday. Corey, what do you think of Kyle Rudolph?
God, I can't. I think the needle on Kyle Rudolph is even. I'm not getting up over this performance. I think you want to see more. Am I going to say that Kyle Rudolph is a guy that you start in a 12-team league? No.
Nope. Yesterday was his best game since week 4, and I refer Corey back to last week's game against Detroit. 1 catch for 1 yard for
there
a touchdown.
There you go.
Would you rather have, Corey, Kyle Rudolph or Zach Ertz?
Zach Ertz.
All right, man, Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz doesn't get touchdowns, though.
No, he doesn't, but I think I'll take – well, you can't predict touchdowns, so I'll take the consistent thing. So if we want to play this game, Kyle Rudolph or Jason Witten?
Oh, boy.
Anybody.
Kyle Rudolph.
I go Jason Witten, and I'm not exactly sure why, because you look at that, how much they run the ball.
But he seems to make plays in this offense. And Dak Prescott, after yesterday's performance, like, that was an amazing performance for a rookie yesterday. I wonder if they start throwing the ball a little more in that passing offense. They don't need to by any stretch of the imagination, but the way they played in such a hostile environment yesterday was amazing. And Witten, we saw that game 2 weeks ago against Cleveland. Everybody has tight end, has big games against them. I just feel more comfortable with Witten. But Rudolph, this game, he just disappears. And yep. You can't take a zero. It drives me crazy taking a zero.
Rudolph or Kobe Flina?
Rudolph.
Rudolph or Lance Kendricks?
Rudolph.
I take Lance Kendricks over Rudolph. I would not take Kobe Flina over Rudolph, though.
Why do you like Lance Kendricks so much?
Is Lance Kendricks healthy, though? He left the game yesterday.
Well, we have to look into that.
sticking with the Vikings here, though, guys, for a moment, the running game is non-existent whatsoever. Now, I take Matt Asiata because
he had a chance to touch.
Yeah, he fell in the end zone. Exactly what we said yesterday. But the offensive line stinks.
Took him four times.
Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. He got in there. It doesn't matter.
Never give up.
Never give up. Exactly. Never give up.
Never give up when you're trying to get in there.
That's right. Six carries for 16 yards for Jerick McKinnon. He was abysmal. I can't own any Vikings running back. I don't want it.
I think if you're going to own one, it's
Asiata.
Yeah, because he's scoring the touchdown.
Is Jerick McKinnon droppable?
No, I'm not going to go that far. Okay. I don't think he's droppable.
What happened to Ronnie Hillman yesterday?
Look how many people, not to cut you off, Scott, look how many people back in August were talking about you can when Peterson was healthy, they were saying you can draft McKinnon because he was going to have a role in the office.
Yeah,
right.
His offensive line got
a bridge to sell
his
you.
His offensive line got destroyed, though. Destroyed.
Yeah, that's true,
too. Destroyed all year. Yeah. Running wise, and like
no. I mean they lost a lot of players.
Yeah,
they've lost so many dudes.
They have. People talking to Ronnie Hillman. He had four carries for 2 yards.
I mean this offense for Minnesota is absolutely awful now. From 5-0.
I mean this looks pitiful.
Pitiful
on paper. It looks pitiful in real life.
Yeah.
Jerick McKinnon 6 for 16.
Brutal.
Asiata 9 for 13. Ronnie Hillman, 4 for 2.
For the Redskins.
Sounds like a baseball line.
I know, right?
Kirk Cousins had 2 touchdowns passing. Pierre Garçon is the one that stepped up without DeSean Jackson. 6 for 81. He had 10 targets yesterday, Tony. Jamison Crowder, 4 for 37 on 6 targets with a touchdown, of course.
And a touchdown. Every
week.
Yeah.
I was surprised by the Cousins has become pretty consistent. He's going to get around 250 each week. The games that they get behind, another strong performance from Kelly in the backfield, 22 carries, 97 yards there. But Pierre Garçon surprised me. I thought actually this game would play with Jordan Reed getting more of the work. But we're seeing Vernon Davis still on the field, going 2 tight ends a lot, and a big play yesterday, 3 catches, 66 yards. In this offense, like they got a game coming up against Detroit on Thanksgiving in a couple weeks. That's going to be a week that you could pick up Vernon Davis and you could use him at tight end if you guys need a tight end, because that secondary can't stop anybody. And he's becoming a part of this offense.
And nobody wants to own Garçon, but he has like at least a dozen points in 4 of his past 5 games PPR.
He has a high floor.
Right.
Pierre Garçon, but there's nothing.
He's only scored 1 touchdown this year. That's
right.
The problem.
You know, my guy is Crowder. But now we're starting to the Jordan Reed owners. Not only do you have to worry about the concussions, now you have Vernon Davis cutting into that. You had Vernon Davis cutting into that workload also. So big day for Greg yesterday with 2 University of Maryland standouts
against each other.
Yeah, going against each other and each having good games.
Well, what happens with Vernon Davis though? Did like Mike Singletary come and yell at him recently?
I don't. Yeah, this guy. I thought this guy was close to retirement.
Yeah, I thought
he's had
a
really nice year. Yeah. Really nice year in Washington.
And then Jordan Reed, you know, gets hurt. You put him in the offense.
Yeah.
And he picks right up. Kirk Cousins likes throwing the football to the tight end.
He does.
He's very good at throwing the routes at the tight end run. It's friendly for him. Jay Gruden had that thing working. I think, listen, I was not on Cousins at all coming into the season.
Me either.
But I think that he has earned himself that contract.
That's exactly what I was going
to
ask
to
you.
Be the quarterback in Washington. And moving forward, I think Kirk Cousins is a viable fantasy starter.
I agree. I agree with
54
you.
Points in his last 4 games.
Kirk Cousins is going to get paid this offseason, and rightfully so. You know what? You do it 2 years in a row, you've earned it.
He earned it. How you like that? That's what he says.
He says you like that. Yeah. Yesterday, he said, ooh-wee.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, weird. Check that out.
If I was him, I'd start out at $24 million a year and say I'm at least twice as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Ryan Fitzpatrick-less Jets, who were in a barn burner yesterday.
Hey.
Jets and the Rams next on the Roto Experts.
To?
Yeah, I think they have no choice. We're back here on the Roto Experts, and it seems like Corey Scott has a problem with our board.
Yeah, he doesn't. We got the board up. We were looking at possible punishments for mentioning names of people that's not on the program.
That's right.
But Scott is in a disadvantage because, you know,
he likes to talk about him.
He would lose every
so
week.
So is this board just for like mentioning anybody? Like
those two people? Look at the board. We have two names on the board. If you say either of those two names, you get a point.
So you put up this board to try to get me to stop saying two names.
You figured it out.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, I get it.
Do you not know this board? Wait, do you not know this board has been up for 3 weeks?
What is my punishment? I got to listen to you yell?
Well, no, that's what we're trying to figure out. Tony, Corey is...
You basically put a board up
to
get me stop mentioning Jake and Cardano.
Put it on the board, please. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not like I'm not immune from this. I put myself on the board.
Explain to the listeners what this board is.
So we have a board in front of us.
Right.
With two names on it.
Right.
Names that you just mentioned.
Right.
And every time we say them, because I think we say it incessantly, we put a check mark on, or a tally, rather, in the column for your name.
Right.
So we have to come up with something that if you lose the week, because we reset it every week, to be fair, if you lose, there should be some form of punishment. Now, Mike Florio, our producer, suggested that the three other co-hosts get to decide your Twitter avatar for the week. Corey Parson has suggested push-ups, and I'm sure Tony Sincada has something twisted he'd like to suggest.
Oh, definitely. Is this the first time we're doing this, though? I haven't heard of
this. This is the first time we're going to do a punishment. The last 2 weeks have been our trial period. Now we're up to the punishment one.
Well, who won the last 2 weeks?
You've lost the last 2 weeks. But I think
you put up the board just for me.
Well,
I really
the current
do.
Score is we're
because how much does really anybody else
right,
so mention Cardano except for me?
Let's put it on the board, please.
Yeah,
that's kind of the point of the game. Tony, do you have a punishment suggestion?
Yes, the loser should have to write a column for the New York Daily News on fantasy hockey for the day.
Okay. I think you created this board just for me, though. You're just trying to send.
Well, the current score right now.
You should get a real game.
2 hours
if you
into the
do
week
it.
Is.
Yes.
Tony won, Corey won, yep. Greg won, Scott 7.
Okay.
He did this specifically for me.
I've done it 3 weeks ago. Where have you been?
I haven't paid attention until now.
Oh, sorry. That's why you've lost every week.
I made another game show. I got a board.
Are you upset?
Upset?
You seem upset.
What?
Yeah,
because
you designed this just to like screw with me.
No, I designed it so we wouldn't talk about all the people all the time. And there's clearly only one of us that does that. Judging by the score.
You really are something.
Why?
Oh,
you know, it's
goodness.
Like you can't talk about other people.
Right. Why do
you
we do that?
Listeners, don't tweet at me.
Yeah.
You know, don't call here.
Oh,
you
call
know,
you guys. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like it's all about you, Sussman.
I didn't say that. People can call us. Yeah,
we can't talk
them.
About other people.
Right.
We can't talk to other people.
You have me to talk to and Corey to talk to.
When somebody tweets at you, you're like, don't tweet at me.
Why?
I'm not listening.
I'm saying.
Somebody's on the phone. Let them hold.
Why are we're going over the games? It's Monday.
All right. Keep that in the house, Scott.
What?
Let him hold.
You know what? Corey, that's so funny because I was about to say something and I said, Tony, shut your mouth.
I don't think it's not often I
say that.
Yes.
Did you create enough damn game shows to satisfy your freaking fantasy that you got to make one just to poke at me?
I don't think I ever said anybody let them hold. I don't think I said
every
let
day
them
it's
hold.
Another friggin' game with this friggin' guy. He wants to be Pat Sajak.
I'd be pretty sick.
Yeah.
Scott, it sounds like you're getting personal, Scott.
Yeah. What?
You called him Pat Sajak. It sounds like you're getting personal.
Do you ever think that Vanner and like they drank?
Here we go.
Tony just saved
they
my
drank
ass.
A lot. Yeah, they drank a lot together. Like, during the dinner shows. Do you think they ever like had intimate?
Of course.
Once.
Oh yeah. I think so. I think there's no question.
Have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you think she had to like?
Yeah, that's
one
weird.
Of them had to like to guess the puzzle though before they. Did
nah,
it?
I don't think so.
They probably was
weird,
like,
right?
Boom, boom, boom.
They probably went hanging out after the show a couple times.
Yeah.
They probably was digging each other.
Yeah.
They probably was drinking one night.
Yeah.
He probably was like, "Yo, you come upstairs?
Can I guess the puzzle? I want to screw you."
He probably was like,
"What is wrong with you, Scott?"
I don't know.
Pat was probably like, "Lo, let you know, what's up, Vanna? Let's go upstairs." And Vanna was like,
"You know, we got to do it once."
Vanna was like, "We're not going to do nothing." And Pat was like, "I know."
I don't know. My wife said yesterday, she's like, "I don't know how exactly old Vanna is, but she must have made a deal with the devil for the way she still looks,
or had plastic surgery."
Yeah.
The devil being the plastic.
That's true. Dr. Drew.
Isn't that odd though? If you're intimate and then 20 years, you're turning letters and like. like you was there every day with each other?
Yeah, you see, that would become awkward because at some point,
you know what? You both get married, you both move on, whatever.
Yeah, but still, you would probably, but you still work together a lot.
Sure.
So you probably would feel a certain kind of way, like, oh, Pat think he this, oh, Vanna, oh, screw her, you know what I'm saying?
What the hell am I talking, what am I talking about? My ex-wife lives with me.
Well, there you go.
There you go. See?
Yeah, I just put it in all perspective. See, you have to talk through it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's talk some Jets and Rams.
Do you really want to talk Jets and Rams?
Not really, because we can go on with this at the top of the hour.
Huh? Been having some fun, though.
I just got sad. I got sad. Talking about the Jets and Rams, I just got sad. A lot of field goals.
So
it's all about Alec Ogletree making an interception in that.
So how's that working, Tony? Is she listening?
Is she listening? She actually went to the Seattle Patriots game last night and left me.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was the one bad thing about Tony moving back down to Florida. We were actually going to go to that game last night.
Why didn't you? You still could have went to the game.
What? It would have been cooler to go with Tony, though. But it's something.
You could go with Tony's ex-wife.
Something came up where I couldn't go this weekend, though. But, if I'd planned it ahead with Tony, we definitely would have went. We were talking about going.
I'm sorry, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You already seen him once
Brandon
this year.
Brandon Marion Lee's taller than me.
Are they play in Seattle or in Philly next week?
They play in Seattle next week.
I thought they played in Philly or something.
No, they played. Actually, Corey saw them in Philly 2 years ago.
Yeah, I saw them in Philadelphia. Russell Wilson.
Why did you go to that game?
Hi, my brother-in-law's. We go to the Eagle game every year.
Oh,
he's a big Eagle fan.
I would go to a football game where it's not my favorite team. I just love the game.
Yeah, we went down there. We was chilling. Yeah. We had a blast. You know what I'm saying? It was week 14.
I love going to football games, period.
Sure.
It's like there's nothing to me like an NFL game in person.
Oh, NFL. I mean, NFL experience is real.
It's a TV game, but I love being there and watching it, like especially if you're like in one of the end zones, because you could see how the defense sets up and everything, and you know it's easier to see what's going on strategically when you're watching it in person.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
So we have 1 minute before the break, so might as well talk about the Jets and Rams in this minute, so we don't have to talk about that again.
Yeah, good. Let's get it out the way.
Bryce Petty threw for 163 and 1-1, 20 carries, 98 yards for Matt Forte, who obviously very involved in the offense. Brandon Marshall, 4 catches for 15 yards. Scott, can you bench him going forward?
Brandon Marshall,
can you bench him?
I think you can strongly consider it.
Quincy Enunwa, I dropped yesterday because he's useless now. Bilal Powell, heavily involved, 752. Had a very cool touchdown as well.
Yep.
Hey, when we come back, I'm going to mention Kenny Britt. And we're going to preview Monday Night Football. That in hour number 3 of the Road Rush Sports in the Morning.